We see the rainbow twice in the book of Revelation. The first time is in Revelation 4, verse 3. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. "And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, an appearance like an emerald." The interesting thing as we look at that is we see that the rainbow is all the way around the throne. You see, a rainbow is actually a circle. When we see a rainbow here on this earth, we only actually see half of it. So it looks like an arc. But here in Revelation 4 verse 3, we see that the rainbow appears in its full glory as a circle. A circle. It has no beginning, it has no end. It speaks of eternity. There's nothing to add to it, because you can't add anything more to a circle. You can't change its shape, it's constant. It's got no breakages or interruptions. It's a circle. And the rainbow being around the throne of God, what an awesome place for it to be. The throne of God, that is where God sits and makes every judgment from. That tells me every judgment that God makes has to pass through the covenant. It revolves all around Him, around God, because the rainbow is around His throne. In Revelation 10 verse 1 it says, again reading from New King James Version, "I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire." Once again, here we see the rainbow, a circle around his head. This is where the Roman Catholic Church and other more traditional churches get the picture of the halo from. People having a halo around their head. A circle around their head. And this is where they see it. But it's actually Jesus who has the rainbow around his head. Once again, the symbol of the covenant. The covenant is what crowns Jesus. The circle on his head, that's covenant. You know, if you go to, for example, a Miss America beauty pageant, the crown that she receives is never a full circle. The crown that she receives is a partial circle. Why? Because her reign is temporary. It lasts only for 1 year. But the crown that God wears, the crown that Jesus wears, is a full circle, because He is King of Kings forever and ever, because of His covenant with us. The fact that the rainbow is on His head also makes me think that that means perhaps that we are always on His mind, that He's thinking of the covenant all the time. And the fact that He is clothed with a cloud, He is clothed with a cloud, means that He's coming in judgment, but He will never forget His covenant. He will be faithful to His promise, and He will not again destroy the world by water. Now, let's go forward a few hundred years, to 400 years after God cut covenant with Abraham. His descendants became slaves in Egypt, and they began to cry out to God to save them. The cries of the people caused God to once again remember the covenant that He had made with Abraham. This is when God raised up Moses to set his people free. I'm going to read here from Exodus 2, verse 23 to 25. Now it happened, in the process of time, that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Remembering the covenant. That's what God was doing there. He was reminding the covenant. Filling his mind with thoughts of his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Later on, when those same people abandoned the worship of God and broke the covenant to worship a golden calf that they made with their own bare hands, they were not killed because Moses reminded God of his covenant with their father Abraham, that covenant which was still intact. In so doing, Moses actually changed God's mind. Both parties of the covenant must remember the covenant. They must keep it in mind. And both parties have the right to remind the other of the covenant. We can see Moses doing that in Exodus 32, verse 13 to 14. It says, this is Moses speaking, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. Deuteronomy 9 verse 26 to 28 says, "Therefore I prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your inheritance, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look on the stubbornness of this people, or on their wickedness, or their sin, lest the land from which you brought us should say, because the Lord was not able to bring them to the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to kill them in the wilderness.'" Here are some other scriptures along the same line. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Psalm 111 verse 5 says, "He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant." Psalm 115 verse 12 to 13 says, "The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great." Psalm 144 verse 3 says, "Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him?" King David authored so many of the Psalms, including the ones that I just mentioned. He understood this so well. He knew God's heart, and he knew that God's covenant people were always on God's mind. Isn't that an awesome thought? Just like the song, "You are always on my mind." That's what God is saying to you. You are always on my mind. His mind is full of you. He is mindful of his covenant that he made with you. One of the main ways that we remember our covenant with God today is by celebrating and participating in the Lord's Supper or communion. In Luke 22, verse 19 to 20, it says, "And he, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You see it there again? "Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Communion, or the Lord's Supper, reminds us of what Jesus did for us. It is a blood covenant meal, just like the one that Jesus shared with his disciples the night before he was crucified. This is why we call it communion, common union. There is no frequency of the Lord's Supper prescribed in Scripture. Jesus told us to do it in remembrance of him. There is no reason why God's people should not do it on a daily basis. There's also no scripture that says only an ordained minister or priest can administer it.